It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving.
The other day, I guess it was yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, it's the 7th. When was that? That was Monday, yeah. So Monday, I'm reading a blog from David Bryant talking about, you know, as you head into the voting booth, remember some important things, that Jesus is Lord over all, including the election. And as I read it, I was encouraged by what I saw and read, and I thought, I want to have David on after the election. And, of course, you know, waking up this morning, go, well, that was probably not what any of us really expected, but the reality is still true that Jesus is Lord, and he is Lord over all. And so I wanted to spend some time talking with David, just get a bit of maybe heavenly perspective on the day that we're living in today. David Bryant has been defined by many as a messenger of hope and a Christ proclaimer to the church throughout the world. For the past 40 years, he's formerly a pastor and a minister at large with the University Christian Fellowship and a president of Concerts of Prayer International and chairman of the American National Prayer Committee. And he provides leadership to ChristNow.com and to Proclaim Hope. And David, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for making a little time with me today.
I'm glad to be with you, Neil. Thank you.
So you helped just lay out some important principles, you know, when we were heading into the voting booth. And I thought, you know, it's just good to review those. I mean, this God's Word has a few things to remind us about, that Jesus is, in fact, Lord. Say more about that, that he reigns at this very moment.
Well, I think the thought comes to me just at this second that we're not victims of whatever trends may be taking place in our culture or taking place politically. And however this election turned out, you know, none of us need to feel like if it wasn't the way we wanted, that somehow we're a victim of what's happened, because we live under the one who said in Revelation 1 that he is the ruler. These are your exact words. I am the ruler of the kings of the earth, which, of course, would include all the political leaders in our own country. There's a sense in which when Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, he didn't say, my kingdom is not in this world. You know, sometimes I think we have this thought that Jesus is way off somewhere and he's got this kingdom and someday we're going to join him there. But it's much more similar to, in this blog you mentioned, I talk about in outer space, there are these black holes that are just as real, just as substantial as any planet or any star. It's just that they have such a strong gravitational pull that they pull everything in, including even light itself. But they're actually there. They may be invisible, but they're real, they're substantive, and they exist side by side with the things that we can see in outer space. And in the same way, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is in this world. And it may be a parallel universe, but it is very interactive with the universe that we can see. And so that's the testimony all through Scripture in terms of the lordship of Christ, particularly when we think in the political landscape, when Paul says in Ephesians 1, he's been given a name that's above every rule and authority, both in this age and in the age to come, that there's a sense in which Jesus is exercising his lordship over this world and over the life of our nation in a way that's comparable to how he will exercise it in totality later. What he's Lord of, ultimately, that's what he's Lord of right now. And none of that authority has been diminished at all just because we aren't quite to the end of the age yet. His lordship, his glory, his authority, as he said, he sent us to the nations in Matthew chapter 28 because he has all authority. That's his right now. So I'll just end what I'm saying here by saying I was just talking to one of the nation's Christian leaders about 2 minutes before you and I got on the phone here together. And as we were talking, I said this to him, and I thought, I ought to share this with our listeners when you and I talk, which was, this thought came to me, and it was this, that overnight in this nation, we saw a huge sea change, a shift in the political landscape, and that shift took place because of one individual, primarily one individual, and what he was able to do over about 12 to 18 months. And if that can happen with just one human being, one fallen human being like we all are, in such a short time, that by his one influence, there could be a sea change and a shift in the political landscape and narrative of our country. How much more can the Holy Spirit, who is God among his people, how much more can the living Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church of his people, how much more would he be able to bring a major sea change and shift in the narrative of what's going on in the body of Christ in our nation right now? And the great hope for America, Neil, as you've heard me say many times on the times we've had together on this broadcast, the great hope for this nation is not in a political leader. It's in a church that gets so alive to the fullness of who Christ is and begins to live in the reality of his lordship, his kingship, and his kingdom, that we become the salt, the light, the leaven, all the things Jesus said that his people should be in the life of a culture or a nation. We begin to be that for the extension of his reign and his kingdom and his saving power into the life of this nation. When the church comes alive to Christ in a major sea change that I call a Christ awakening in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that day is in front of us, that day will come. And when that day comes, then we're going to see things happen in this nation that no political leader could even begin to touch.
Oh, so needed to see that vision. I'm sure many just need to be reminded once again. We're told to pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2 talks about that. And Ephesians 4 talks about unity as well. Say about a word about that. I mean, in this now day after the election, where suddenly, you know, there are calls from everybody. All right, it's time to come together. What does that look like in God's kingdom?
To me, there's an encouraging fact that both political parties are talking about we need to come together. Of course, that often just falls apart, but at least there's a predisposition in that direction at this moment. But even more, that needs to happen inside the body of Christ, because the body of Christ has been rent by this political season. And you're sitting in a pew beside somebody who may not have been of the same political persuasion as you are. And the question is, do we have a unity with one another that supersedes whatever political persuasions we may be a part of? Ephesians 4 says that we're to preserve the unity of the Spirit. It's already there. We're to preserve it. I was in a church on Sunday where they had communion. And when the pastor went to serve communion, he said to the entire congregation, "Now, if you're holding in your heart any animosity against another believer because of their political persuasion, then please don't come to the communion table this morning. Go and deal with that and come back another time." I thought that was really pretty straightforward, pretty strong, but pretty true to Scripture. That we must, as Paul said, discern the body of Christ before we take communion. We need to discern what the body of Christ is all about, and that's something that supersedes. This kingdom is not of this world, even though it's in this world, and we're a part of something so much bigger than any one political campaign or any one political party. And we've got to love one another, and together as the body of Christ, come into a demonstration of that unity before the eyes of a nation that is in such desperate need of healing socially, just in the life of our nation as a whole. What if the church could exhibit that kind of love and unity despite political differences and begin to be a healing force for the whole nation as a result? That's certainly one thing we need to pray for.
David, you always call us to pray and to understand what a Christ awakening could look like. I know you continue to write on this. Maybe just to say a word about if people go to ChristNow.com, is that a good website? Or maybe they could even go back and read this blog or others that you've been writing on.
Yeah. Well, ChristNow.com is the only website of its kind in the world. It is a bringing together from many streams of the church, all kinds of resources, media, and so on, that help people to get to know more of who Jesus is in his fullness right now. There's never been anything like it. Everything there is free, so I would definitely encourage all of our viewers, to our listeners, to at least take a few moments and inspect that website. And as you do, you'll see across the top a number of menu items, one of which says blog. So if you click onto that, you could get to the blog I sent out on Monday, which is just as applicable today as it was then, and where I look at some of these truths about who Jesus is and the application of that to the whole political landscape right now. So, I would love to have people look at that website. You know, we did a mass national media campaign about the website about 3 weeks ago, and we ran full-page ads like on the back of Christianity Today. And across the top, it said this: what is the hope for America? And underneath that, it said, it's not an elephant, and it's not in a donkey. And then the next line says, it is in a lamb who was slain, who sits on the throne of the universe. And that really ought to be the message we carry forward from this day. It's not in the political parties. It's in the Lamb. That's where our focus should be.
And with that, we'll wrap up today's show, because we need to be reminded that again of why we're here. And God's plans and purposes are not thwarted. Jesus reigns at this very moment, and all authority belong to him. And we're honored to just review that for the past few minutes with David Bryan. David is a messenger of hope and a Christ proclaimer, and has been a pastor, minister at large at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he's head of Proclaim Hope. And you can find out more at ChristNow.com. ChristNow.com. I recommend that website to you and be encouraged. David, bless you. Thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
God bless you, Neil. It's great to be with you. Thank you.